Peace be with each of you this morning as you listen to the message. And it's about something I said when I came out about All Saints Day. Now, some of the questions that Lutherans are a little bit confused about is, do we believe in saints? Yes, we do. The original All Saints Day really didn't occur until late 500, early 600 AD by a pope who created it by the name of Boniface. And the reason he did so is that they had a pretty good system going on where, as a martyr or a saint was declared, they would take that Sunday and they would declare that Saint Matthew's Day or whatever saint they had. Except they ran into a problem. They said, Pope, we've got more saints than we've got days. We can't fit them all in. So he had an idea. Why don't we take one day and we'll commemorate it as All Saints Day? And that's how we include all of the saints. Now, the Lutheran take on sainthood is this. We do not worship saints. Never have. Never will. What we believe is that we can emulate saints. We can become like them and do the things they did because they were God-pleasing. So do we honor saints? Yes. Do we worship saints? No. So that I hopefully will clarify the use of All Saints Day and what our beliefs are. Now, this past year and a half, 2 years, we've went through a unique time with the COVID issue. We had in excess of 1 million Americans died. It was horrible. But it was not, when compared to another pastor, a Lutheran pastor, by the way, Philip Nicolai. In 1597, he was from the city of Unna, and that's U-N-N-A in Germany. And the plague swept through his countryside, and it consumed over 1,400 of his citizens. That was tragic, of course, as the plague swept through it. It didn't care about if you were rich or poor, healthy or infirmed, it just took you. Every home had a loss. And the survivors lived through that trauma of watching at least someone that they knew well who would pass away a painful death. I say that only to compare the opinion of people who are left behind and how we look upon the issue of death. So, how do you fight a plague? Well, you can't. You could wear every mask you wanted to, but it wouldn't help you. Today, if we have such a thing, we cope with it by talking. We talk on the television. We talk in the newspaper. We talk in magazines. And we talk about how bad it is. But this is the aspect of today's message that I want you to remember and focus on. Is this Lutheran preacher back at this time. He wrote a book. Why did he write a book? Well, listen to how he leads off. He writes, "The plague with its fury and rage fell upon the city like an unforeseen thunderstorm or tempest and soon left no home unharmed and lastly broken my own dwelling And the people, for the most part, went about shattered spirits, shattered hearts. They were blind and half dead. During that time, nothing was sweeter. Sweeter? Nothing was sweeter or more pleasant to me than contemplating the precious, lofty article of eternal life procured by Christ's blood. I let this item fill my heart and night. I searched the scriptures to see what they testified concerning it. That's how he coped with it. He wrote about the joy of Christ being in his heart. I can't think after reading that of a better way to handle a tragedy or a loss, especially when it's on such a grand scale. What better way to look at death than to see life beyond it? This is our hope. Yes, this is our joy. Even now, as we continue to live in this, I would consider this a veil of sorrow, a veil of tears. Pastor Nikolai simply did, albeit he did it in a very thorough way. But what he did it exactly the way St. John did this in his writings in Scripture. First of all, what did they see? Well, they saw the holy angels escorting these saints from earth to heaven. Now, if you consider that, think this through. When the angels escorts the spirit directly to heaven, who is the first person the person will see? His Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's going to actually see the face. The face that we call upon, the countenance. Remember every time we close our service, lift your face upon us, look upon us, smile upon us. They will see the actual face of Christ. You, the very first thing you will see will be the face of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, a second before, you may have been struggling for breath. You were trying to live, yet you were succumbing. And now you're in the presence of your holy, gracious God. Wow. They were embraced in his loving arms of the Savior who sacrificed himself. And they beheld the face of the Heavenly Father, the very countenance of God. They'd heard about it. We've heard about it all of our lives. Some of us for many, many, many years. And then suddenly there he is. Now here's the intriguing thing that is going to happen to everyone in this room. This is no story. You will see your Lord and your Savior. And when you do, I guarantee you he's going to smile at you because he loves you. He's been waiting for you. All of these wonderful things, all of this love can't break through this veil of tears here in heaven or in earth because of evil. Once you go to heaven, there's nothing but the Lord's love. So nothing is tainted. It is all pure. It's like, it's like if you can imagine, I love Merrimack Springs. If you can imagine what that looks like with the spring constantly flowing up. Well, that's what the love of Christ is like in heaven. It's a constant flow of love, of energy, protecting you, caring for you. The saints together rejoice. They celebrate. They give thanks. And the Lord loves them. He embraces them in his love so strongly and securely that you must remember, nothing will ever, ever take you away from God's presence. It is over. They rejoice. So even now, seconds after your final breath, the saints are now embraced by God himself. They're surrounded by the glorious angels, the cherubim, the seraphim, the archangels, because God created them to do that for you. They have been with you all of your life. You just don't know it. But you will see them. And now that their mission has been successfully completed, they join with all the other saints in celebrating God. So we don't sorrow in the face of death. We deal with it. We accept it, but we know in our heart that the person who is now in the presence of God is where they were meant always to be. And I guess when you're in heaven, you'll look around, and sometimes I kid with some of my friends who were pastors, and we talk about in heaven you're going to see Adam and Eve, you're going to see Moses, you're going to see King David, you're going to see the survivors. You're going to meet people that actually knew Christ, who learned from him. How exciting that is going to be. All you're going to do is you're going to hear love, you're going to hear laughter, you're going to hear joy, thanks, praise, and total celebration. It's going to be great. Glorious saints welcome every new arrival, and as they do, they immediately recognize them. There was some comments once that, oh, we won't know each other when we get to heaven. No, it doesn't say that. You will know people when you go to heaven. You will recognize your friends. You will be embraced by all. So, to finalize, no room for sorrow, only love, celebration, and respect for our Lord and Savior. It's the joy of eternal life. And you know, for us who are still here and still remaining, we have to do on earth all we can to further the mission of our Lord, to share the word. We talked about last Sunday, two Sundays ago in Bible class, that what a shame to hold the love of Christ in your heart and never, ever share it with someone who desperately needs you. All you have to do is have the strength, the power, the fortitude to step forward and let them know they have a Lord that loves them and cares for them. Amen.